The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Well, friends, I must admit, I am not a fan of snakes. My apologies to those who have befriended them. And as I learned this morning, I need to offer apologies to Sweetwater, Texas, which is celebrating their Rattlesnake Festival all weekend long. My experiences with snakes have not been that good. One of my first memories was going into our barn, opening up a brand new bale of alfalfa, and having, I don't know how many thousands of little snakes running out at me. I never looked at a bale of alfalfa the same way again. And most recently, my experience with snakes had to do with the acreage that Matthew and I lived on in California for several years. And snakes were an ever-present danger, and namely rattlesnakes. Our ecosystem had an abundance of ground squirrels and rabbits, and they liked to congregate under our storage unit, which was a little bit lifted off the ground, and it was about 100 yards or so from our house. And our outside dogs, our ranch dogs, well, they enjoyed the chase and the hunt, and once in a while caught something. We would see furry gifts around our property. And we might have been able to coexist until our dogs discovered it, a very large rattlesnake. A snake with powerful venom. A snake whose bites to our dogs not once, but twice, did lots of damage. And I remember my fear and dread of this snake, knowing that it was lurking and slithering around, looking for prey to survive, protecting itself from being prey and growing larger and larger. And no matter my fears or opinions about snakes, this was normal snake behavior in the world and in the wilderness. So we hear in our scripture from Numbers an episode about the Israelites and their time in the wilderness. And this is an odd scripture, reminiscent of the plagues upon Egypt and Pharaoh. The Israelites are weary of the conditions of traveling in the wilderness. You see, they're going quite a long way around to get to this promised land, and they're not certain that Moses knows what he's doing. And apparently God grew pretty weary of their complaints, as God sent poisonous snakes to them. And the snakes did what snakes do. They bit, they poisoned, and people died. And then the story takes a turn even more odd than it already is. Odd because a bronze serpent lifted up on a pole seems counterintuitive to the commandment recited just moments ago. You shall not make for yourself any idol, anything that can be worshipped besides God. And odd because when the people get bit by the snake, they are to look at this bronze snake on the pole, and then they will live. Odd because the same creature who brings death now gives life. It's also the scripture Jesus is referring to as our gospel lesson from John this morning begins. We enter in this gospel lesson at a transition point in a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. And there's a pattern in the Gospel of John for these encounters with Jesus. There'll be a sign or a miracle, then there'll be some conversation, and then there'll be discourse where Jesus offers the lesson about what has just happened. And in order for us to get a full pattern and a full picture of Jesus' lesson, we need to back up a little bit and start at the beginning of chapter 3. And it starts with Nicodemus, the well-educated, well-respected Pharisee about town, who made a very business-like appointment to meet with Jesus. But he did so after dark, so not to be seen by the people he serves and perhaps his fellow leaders. Didn't want to create any suspicion. Now, he has knowledge of Jesus, seen him in the temple. He surely has seen the signs and miracles Jesus performs, and it's obvious to him that Jesus is a man of God. What isn't obvious is what this means to his faith, but he's curious about Jesus. So he goes, they begin their conversation together, and the first thing Jesus tells Nicodemus is that you must be born again. Born again in water and spirit. Now Nicodemus doesn't get it. And how could he? It makes no sense that a grown man can go back in the womb and be born again. But Jesus persists in this instruction, even getting a bit annoyed with Nicodemus at his lack of understanding. Nicodemus is supposed to be a leader and teacher of the faith to the people that he's entrusted to. And how can he be if he doesn't even understand this? And that's where the conversation part ends. Nicodemus saying, I don't understand. So here Jesus begins the discourse, the lesson, and he offers Nicodemus and us a possibility to try and understand, to come away with something that we can hold on to. And Nicodemus would surely know the scripture Jesus refers to. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So Jesus brings together an interesting, and I believe intriguing, convergence of Israel's past, the present with Nicodemus, and his future in the days to come. So what are we to make of this? What's the connection? Well, let's start with Moses and the Israelites. As the snakes are busy doing their job, the Israelites confess their sin against God and Moses. They want Moses to intercede on their behalf. They ask him, please, ask God to take away the snakes. Moses faithfully prays to God for the people. God did not take away the snakes. God had something else in mind. God gave them a way to be healed. Come and look at the bronze snake lifted up for you and receive life. And then there's Nicodemus. Jesus is giving Nicodemus and us a lesson and some clues to whom God is, to whom he is, and what God will do. The inability to understand Jesus will continue by the Pharisees and others in the temple. And the crowds that Jesus draws, the people that are so desperately looking for healing with just his touch, and to hear the words of hope, will continue to be a threat to the Roman Empire. And finally, what's to come? Jesus spent his life interceding for us, teaching, preaching, healing, showing us how God's love and mercy can work in the world to change the world. When the threat to power becomes too much, Jesus is condemned to death. Jesus will be lifted up on the cross in suffering and death. Lifted up. Not to take away our pain or suffering or death, but to share in it with us and us with him. Jesus will be lifted up for us with an invitation from God. An invitation that we are free to receive or not. We are invited to see him, believe in him, be healed, and receive eternal life. This is how God shows his love and mercy. God did not come into the world. God did not make Jesus flesh, send Jesus to us to condemn his creation. Not the snakes, not Nicodemus, not the Pharisees, not the Romans, and not us. Jesus lifted up on the cross is God's grace, fully and completely. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. So, lift up your hearts. Amen.